The Lord be with you. I'm Pastor Larry Oliver, and this is our service for the fifth Sunday in Lent, March 29th, 2020. The hymn we just heard was Abide With Me. As we consider the words of this hymn, we are reminded this world is filled with change and challenges, distress and despair, and yes, even death. In this broken world of COVID-19, we are sustained on our journey through this world until Jesus, our life-giving Lord and Savior, comes once again. He came into this decaying world that we may have life and have it abundantly. Amid the changes and decay around us, through His word and means of grace, we are given new life and the forgiveness of sins. By faith, we give thanks for His abiding with us daily, offering His mercy, grace, promise, and peace. In this, our last Sunday in the season of Lent prior to Holy Week, we are given the truth about the life the Lord has come to bring. In our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel sees a vision of dry bones that are brought to life by the breath and power of God. In the epistle lesson to the Romans, Paul implores us to live according to God's commandments and not according to the brokenness of the world. In the Holy Gospel, we hear the greatest sign through which Jesus foreshadows His own resurrection, bringing a dead and decaying Lazarus back to life, foreshadowing the resurrection and eternal life for all who believe. Jesus said, "Where there are two or three gathered in My name, I am there with them." And so we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to You that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to Your boundless mercy, seeking and imploring Your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives the power to become children of God, and promises them His Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the day. Almighty God, in whom is life now and forever, through Your Son's suffering and death, You have given us victory over all we might fear. Breathe into our bones and our souls Your life-giving word, that we rejoice in Your forgiveness and serve You and others in love and faithfulness, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out into the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Then He said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then He said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this Sunday is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let my ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
The epistle for today comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is life in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law must be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to their minds on the things of flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Then Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound in linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Years ago, in a mental institution outside the city of Boston, a young girl known as Little Annie was locked in a dungeon. Doctors considered it the only place for those who were hopelessly insane. They saw no hope for this little girl, and so she was consigned to live the rest of her life in that small cage, which provided little light and even less hope. At the same institution was an elderly nurse who was nearing retirement. She was convinced there was hope for all of God's children, so in her compassion she started taking Little Annie her lunch and eating with her outside Little Annie's cage. She felt perhaps she could communicate love and offer some hope. But there was little response from the little girl in the cage. One day, the elderly nurse left some brownies outside Little Annie's cage. To her joy, the brownies were gone when she returned the next day. From that time on, the nurse brought brownies when she made her lunchtime visits. Soon, the doctors were amazed to see the change in Little Annie's condition. After more time, they decided to move Little Annie upstairs. Finally, the day came when Little Annie, the hopeless case, was told she could return home. But Little Annie did not wish to leave. She chose to stay so she could offer hope to others, as hope had been offered to her. This story might never have been told if Little Annie hadn't been the woman who cared for, taught, and nurtured Helen Keller, the blind American author, political activist, and lecturer who was the first deaf and blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. Little Annie's full name was Ann Sullivan, the woman who gave hope to Helen Keller. We all need hope. When I was in practice, I would confidently tell patients that they would get better, that they wouldn't be in pain forever, and that their situation was only temporary. Giving them that hope always encouraged them to continue living and not give up. For my patients, that hope was the light at the end of the tunnel. Hope. It's a feeling, a hopeful expectation that a certain event will happen. We all want to be assured that our hopes will come true. So what hope do our readings offer today? Do they have a message of hope for us? Before we answer that question, let's understand the meaning of hope. In our world today, hope is seen as something less than certain. We might say, for example, I hope it doesn't rain for the parade, or I hope the Beavers win first place. While we certainly want something to happen, we are not at all confident that it will come to pass. And there's a decided lack of confidence and uncertainty that our hope will be fulfilled. But in the Bible, the word translated hope has a different meaning. Biblically, something hoped for came with confident expectation that the hoped-for event would indeed happen. An example of the biblical use of the word hope might be to say, I hope the sun comes up tomorrow. We are very confident that, like every day for centuries, the sun has come up and we expect nothing less tomorrow. We are confident that it will happen. And so when Paul says we Christians have the hope of eternal life, there is no doubt or uncertainty in his mind that all believers will experience eternal life. Biblically, the word translated hope carries with it a confident expectation that the hoped-for event will happen. In our gospel for today, Mary and Martha's hopes were dashed. Their brother Lazarus has died. By the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Mary and Martha both complained to Jesus that if only he had arrived in time, their brother would have lived. To those complaints, Jesus responded with these words, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Mary and Martha that question then, and he asks us the same question today. Do you believe he is the resurrection and the life? I certainly hope so. But continuing with the story, Jesus goes to Lazarus' tomb, and after the stone is rolled away, he says in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! There is a stirring in the tomb, and Lazarus comes out, his hands and feet still wrapped with linen burial cloth. We can only imagine the joy that filled the hearts of Martha and Mary and the rest of the mourners. Their hope had been fulfilled. Lazarus was alive again. Here is the good news of this story. In this miracle, Jesus demonstrated for Mary and for Martha then, and us today, that all who believe in him, even though they will experience an earthly death, that on the last day they, and we, will be resurrected just as Lazarus was resurrected, and we will live eternally in heaven. Today we hope that the current pandemic will be over soon so that we can get back to normal. But there are so many long and short-term questions. Will the virus be back again next year? If people start interacting too soon, will virus cases spike again? What will happen to our economy? How will society change? Having survived, will we be more unified or will we be even more homophobic? We hope in 6 months we will be back to normal, but we don't know for sure. Our Old Testament reading offers hope as well. The prophet Ezekiel is taken to a valley of very dry bones. To be dry, those bones must have been there for a long time. God tells Ezekiel, "These bones represent the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost." Indeed, the people of Judah had been in exile for decades and had lost all hope of returning to Jerusalem and their beloved temple. But with God, there is always hope. The people had been exiled for their unfaithfulness to God, and he had disciplined them by allowing Nebuchadnezzar to take them all to Babylon. But now Cyrus is the new ruler of Babylon. He sets the people free and even offers to help them rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. Ultimately, God had restored them to their home and to his family. So what are you hoping for today? You might be hoping that your children are successful. You might be hoping that your vacation plans are still on track. You might be hoping for a myriad of other things. But what are you supposed to do? I believe the answer to that question is found in the psalm for today. The psalmist reminds us, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, because he will redeem you and me from all our iniquities." The heartfelt plea of people today is to be assured that somehow, some way, things will work out, that our world is orderly and stable and not spinning off into chaos. We want to know that God is at the center of our suffering, not only holding our lives together, but holding us, like a father who, holding his crying child, pats him on the back and says, "There, there, honey, everything will be okay. Daddy is here. It will be okay." Our plea is for a God who is a daddy like that. You see, in Jesus, we have that kind of hope. No, not the kind of hope that we think of today as in, "I hope the pandemic goes away," or "I hope it doesn't rain for outdoor graduation." The kind that Jesus offers, the hope as it is used in the Bible, he offers the hope of something about which we can be certain. This does not mean that believers will not suffer from the COVID virus. Paul reminds us that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. This world is broken and everyone in it suffers in one way or another. But this world is not our home. It is only a land through which we sojourn. Our home is in heaven, and believers have that hope, that confident expectation that our death will result in our resurrection to heaven, to live with new and glorious bodies in that glorious heaven for all eternity. So while we struggle with the stresses of today, we are reminded that we have that hope, that confident expectation that we are God's children, that he loves us, and that eternity is ours. Amen. Now may the hope and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds and hope in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. We pray for the deliverance of all who belong to Christ by faith and for all others according to their needs. O God, as you created everything out of nothing by your mighty word, so you have brought resurrection and eternal life to light by the mighty command of your Son, Jesus, who went through death and emerged victorious over death. Help us to learn from Ezekiel's vision the death that comes when we lose faith and the life we gain through your Spirit. Receive our prayers and thanks for your gift of eternal life. Help us to live as your resurrection people, bringing the might of your word to all. Lord, in your mercy. As our Lenten season soon transitions to Holy Week, help us to continue to recognize our sin, our need for repentance, and our dependence on our Savior. Help us to learn from Paul's letter in Romans to continue to put to death those things of the flesh that lead us astray, that we be fed and led by your life-giving Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. We lift up those who are grieving at the loss of loved ones in this current pandemic. Help us to learn from our Savior at Lazarus' tomb that death is not the last word of this life, that we rejoice in your promises made and fulfilled. Enable and equip us to be heralds of the hope that is ours and witness to Christ the power of his resurrection. Have mercy on your creation, O Lord, and bring this pestilence to a rapid conclusion. Lord, in your mercy. Inspire and bless all who preach your word and administer your sacraments with resurrection power, that they do not grow weary, but grow in compassion and perseverance. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort and heal all those who are sick or infirm, disabled or troubled, especially Dan, Dolores, Paula, Piper, Vern, Xavier, Tom, and Bob. Reassure those who are homebound with your presence, Fred, Violet, Audrey, Weldon, Pat, Bonnie, Vi, Jackie, Dick, Shirley, Denny, and Karen. Grant each of these your healing and keep them strong in faith in you. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, dear Lord, for this technology that allows us to worship you together in spirit, even though we may be far apart. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done. And we pray the last verse of the hymn, Abide with Me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. And all of God's people say, Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Once again, I want to thank Ann and Carrie Ann for their help in preparing this service this morning. And thanks, too, to Keith Moore for maintaining our website and posting these services. We close with the closing hymn, which is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. It's number 575 in the Lutheran Songbook. And if you have an old blue hymnal, it's number 368.